Off air.
Oh, sure.
And we're ready to roll.
Right.
Okay, this was a request in order in honor of the 10th anniversary of the first Raleigh meetup. So anyone that was there and that also attended a Comic-Con 09, this might sound familiar to you.
I take out
the second verse because I don't want it to be extremely long. But here we go.
Be the day, but they're gonna throw it back to you. By now, you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. And I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. And all the roads we have to walk are winding, and all the lights we lead us there are blinding. There are many things that I would like to say to you, but I don't know how. Because maybe you're gonna be the one that saves me. And through the past, you're my ramble cat.
Who requested that?
Jessica.
The Canadian.
I figured that's who it was, but I was gonna say because every time you always say it's been request. If they don't send a 5-star review, it doesn't matter. What do you think?
I like getting the requests. I actually have a few in the queue at the moment.
But don't you think they should have to give a 5-star review to get the request?
They should. But once you've given the 5-star review, it's kind of hard to give another one. So
No. If they've done it,
yeah,
then they can request all they want. Am I just being a dick?
Yeah.
Well, it's just you.
Well, I'm just saying, Matt.
You want more and more and more.
Look at the logic here, Matt. Doesn't give a drawing out just for people requesting a drawing. They have to give an email or a review, right?
Yeah, I mean, I tend to.
Okay, so why shouldn't Matt Nick's doing a service here?
Well, I mean, we all bring something. We're like Voltron, right?
Okay. All right.
We come together and we form one big ramble.
I think that went right over Jack's head.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
it was.
Either way, I thought my request was fair. And
I'm always impressed by what Nick brings to the table. Because he's
the left foot.
You're the left foot.
I'm the left foot. Yeah,
I'm the left foot.
Oh,
you're the sword, Nick.
I'm the sword. Oh, I see now.
Anywho, I made a request for Nick to earlier today or yesterday, and Nick promptly reminded me of how absolutely sad of a song it was. So we probably shouldn't have done it. I was like, oh yeah, shit. I guess you're right.
I was like, oh, I just kind of went. I was actually looking forward to it. He goes, hey, request for next week. And I was like, all right, Chris has got a suggestion. And then he went. I was like, oh, that's kind of a sad song.
you know, it's funny. I was literally just listening to it and like analyzing a live version of it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Oh, this is kind of like a good hook. This would be great for a Ramblecast intro." I'm like, and I without thinking, just immediately texted you. And you're like, "Dude, no."
All right, fair enough.
And what song is it, Nick?
Oh, you want me to go and tell you? Okay,
yeah, might as well.
It was. I always forget the name of the title. It's just Johnny's Garden. But it's one of those songs that has a two title. You know, it's Elton John's Johnny's Garden, the one he came out with after John Lennon died.
Oh, it's actually like one of the saddest songs.
Is it sad songs say it so much?
No.
It's Empty Garden.
Empty Garden. Yeah, Empty Garden. And it's like Johnny. Yeah, you know, but it is good. Like, what happened here? Yeah, it's a good song.
So when I was, I've heard that song probably 150 times, and I never listened to it in the context that it was for John Lennon.
Yeah.
And then my boss was telling me how he went to this concert, and he said that there was literally not, it was in Vegas, I think he said the concert was, and he said there was not a dry eye in the entire stadium, like it, or the, wherever the place was there that the show was at.
So Elton John wrote that.
Wait, or
John Lennon.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, Bernie wrote the lyrics, and then
well,
John.
but with Princess Diana, he just changed some words around.
Yeah, and that's actually a very good South Park episode as well.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, like I forget what. Oh, it was during the royal wedding. That's what it was. They were thinking about hiring Elton John to play the royal wedding, and the queen, you know, is like all quiet and reserved, you know, but when she's in private, this is the joke of the episode, is that when she's in private, she's just vicious. And so as soon as like everyone leaves and it's just her and Elton, like she's like starts knocking over shit. And it's like, okay, Elton, we're giving you a second chance. You're playing a fucking royal wedding, so don't fuck it up. You know, it's like, we want new material, not just some old song you wrote some new shitty lyrics to.
Well, I didn't mean to copyright, infringe on copyright of South Park, but no, it just, when you guys are talking about it, it's, you know, Diana was a very important person. You know,
Nick, could you do that impression one more time?
That's my mom. Yeah, no,
one more time.
Oh, you want to get an image of this so you put it up?
I mean, I don't really
know. Yeah, it's entrapment. Uh huh. You don't get it the first take, then I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's kind of a riff on the SNL Reagan sketch, you know. So if anybody remembers that, but they'd kind of made fun of Reagan where, you know, because he's always so nice, you know, and right. And.
Oh, okay.
And then behind closed doors, he's just like, all right, you know, and he's just like yelling at his cabinet members. And
well, I'm angry. That's all. Yeah.
And then it was just like, oh, we have some Boy Scouts here to take a picture. And then he's all nice and sweet. And then he like goes closed doors and he's just like giving everybody shit. So
it was like a Hot Shots thing. Was part deux. Hot Shots part deux. It came out
part
in like
deux.
I like how you have to add the French. For all of our Canadian listeners.
Yeah, because Lloyd Bridges is a admiral in the first one or a captain, and he's the president in the second one. That's what it was. And so he's like talking with someone from, you know, like one of these generals, and all of a sudden he sees a shadow behind the door, and he opens the door, and it's his wife. He's like, who are you? Who are you spying for? And they're like, sir, that's your wife. He's like, oh, yeah. You're beautiful as the day I met you. And, yeah, and then he like twists her arm and goes, find out what she knows. Shuts her out the door.
Oh, man.
If you like those stupid slapstick comedies like Airplane, and if anyone out there has never seen Hot Shots and Hot Shots But Duh, you need to watch it.
What's the one with
absolutely?
What's the one with Val Kilmer? He's like, oh, he's like Elvis.
Top Secret.
Top Secret.
Top Secret.
That,
yeah,
that's a,
yeah,
that's another stupid one that's funny.
I think that's Zucker Brothers, right? Abrams.
I think so, because he was supposed to be like, it's supposed to be like an Elvis movie, right? If I remember correctly,
it's kind of like an Elvis movie, but then it's also supposed to be a spy World War II kind of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's some pretty funny sight gags too, because they always like to do like the visual sight gags.
Yeah, I haven't seen that movie in forever.
There's like a telephone like really up close. And you think that it's a spatial thing, but the guy goes up and it's just a really big phone.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. And there's like a guy that falls off of a ledge, I think, and he just shatters like a vase or something like
that. Airplane is one of those movies that when you talk about movies that are all-time classic comedies, it doesn't come up.
Are you sure? Because I think Airplane's up there.
I have it up there, but you when you have people, you know, people making lists, you don't see it on the list.
Oh, they're nuts. I mean, there is one of those movies that I've met people that love it, and I've met people that absolutely hate it. And it just depends on
how do you hate it?
There's people that hate that kind of comedy. They hate that literal.
They hate laughing.
I mean,
surely you can't be serious. I am serious, and don't
exactly
really. You know, it's a you have to think.
Yeah.
They're not spoon feeding you. Because I know that when they came out with Police Squad, the TV show, it only lasted 6 episodes and the rating, everyone loved it. But the problem they said is that the reason it didn't continue is because people were having trouble because they had to think.
Yeah. That's like the rest of development, season one, it takes you probably 7 episodes before you start to get that it's all an inside joke.
Right. I mean, there's an episode, there's a shootout between the cops and police squad, and he goes, cover me, he throws a blanket over him. I will always remember that because it just cracked me up.
It's kind of been replaced by like our generation. Like more people, I hear more people now when they're having a bad day at work say, sounds like a case of the Mondays. But, you know, you would say that was the go-to before that was, you know, looks like I picked the wrong day, stop sniffing glue. You
right, know, or exactly. That. So I still say that. People go, why'd you stop? The kids don't build model airplanes anymore, do they? Model really. Cars and
I did, but
I'm just saying the kids today they don't do it, do they?
Legos have kind of taken over. Yeah.
Legos.
Oh
my kids love some Legos, so yeah. That's my son was like saving up money to buy this Lego set that he wanted, you know. I mean, just like all of his allowances for the last several weeks, just like ticking away. And then you know how kids, they get that itch. Like his mm-hmm. sister's at the store. She's got some birthday money. She's about ready to buy something. And he's just like, I don't care. I'm just going to like spend my money. And I'm like, what are you doing, dude? Like you're saving up for this one set. Like you're so close. Like don't just blow it.
Don't blow it, man.
What set it was?
It's one of the Star Wars Freemaker sets. So it's okay. kind of a little bit off the beaten track of Star Wars sets, but he really likes Freemakers. He likes Legos and he likes Star Wars. So Freemakers is his jam.
Did he end up getting something else instead?
No. We talked him down off the ledge. He was going to get a Han Solo Nerf gun. My son has enough Nerf guns. Like, seriously, like he's got probably like...
You can never have enough Nerf guns.
Well, yeah. But he's got enough. Okay, I'm finding Nerf darts everywhere. So, so we talked him off the ledge, and of course he was really frustrated. He was just like, "You guys always do this to me," you know. Like, seriously, he's like,
"You always get in my space, get in my
you guys always talk business." So that night, I came home, I get on eBay, and I find the set that he wants, and he was like $10 away. And you know, I know we recommend people to shop on our Amazon affiliate link. However, sometimes you can find some really good deals.
You don't make anything on eBay.
Sometimes you can find some really good deals on eBay. Still mint in the box, never been opened. I found the set that he was looking for. He was saving up for this $50 set. I found it for $25. And
really?
To
teach him a good lesson in life. To teach me a lesson in life, you say, yeah, I found it for $45. So then you take his money and then you say, okay. And then about 3 months later, you go, you know, you don't trust anybody. Money. You never trust anybody when it comes to money. You better teach him now. Because later on in life, he's going to be screwed over left and right. And then why? Because dad didn't teach him that, hey, anybody will screw you over.
No, you anybody. Know, you know the lesson I taught him. It was called, I told you so. I was like, I told you to wait, and like, and look, I found this for, you know. So he's really super jazzed. This is coming in the mail in a couple days, and so, but yeah, that was my. Oh, not that I always have to give a son story on this podcast, but it seems like I do.
So that was nice of you. Not the story, but it was nice of what you did for your son,
and not ripping him off like you would have. But yeah,
it's a life lesson. It's life lessons.
Don't trust anyone, kid.
Have we all got screwed over?
Well, one way or another, we have.
Okay, exactly. You can't trust people. That's the whole point of the story. And I know people are listening right now. Oh my God, what a shitty way! But you know I'm right. You know I'm right.
You know I got screwed over recently.
See, there you go.
You know, I listened to a ton of great reviews and read a lot of great reviews for the most recent Netflix feature length film. And so the other night I decided, you know, I'll sit down, I'll relax, I'll watch a movie, maybe enhance that experience a little bit. As I sat down and got myself into a good state of mind to watch sit down and watch a great flick.
So you went in with a positive attitude. Not
I did. I really did. I really did. I went into it with a positive attitude. And I watched the movie It's a Netflix original film that got released last week called Triple Frontier.
Now, it's funny. Can I just say something?
Yes.
I started watching it before you said anything, and I had to stop. I got like 20 minutes in. I'm like, oh, okay, this maybe it picks up later on. And so I stopped, and then the next day I saw your thing on Instagram and then Facebook. I said, huh. And I never went back to it.
So let me give a brief synopsis of Triple Frontier for those who haven't, who are living under a rock because they've been advertising the shit out of this movie on every form of social media. Netflix original film about former special forces operatives reunite to plan a heist in a sparsely populated multi-border zone in South America, blah, blah, blah. The cast is pretty incredible, to be honest with you. If you look at the cast of, it's got the one and only Ben Affleck.
I was trying to think how many films he's made that I go, yeah, Ben, I gotta go see it because he's in it.
So it's got Ben Affleck, Oscar Isaac, Oscar Isaac, also known as Poe Dameron for all of our Star Wars fans. Charlie Hunnam from Pacific Rim / Sons of Anarchy. And then Garrett Hedlund. And also Pedro Pascal, who many fans would know from Game of Thrones.
And right? Also Narcos.
Narcos. So the cast is strong, right? It really was a strong cast.
The cast is strong in this one.
Yeah, exactly. And the premise is pretty dope, too. I mean, you think about it, it's kind of like the idea of Three Kings-esque. It's a kind of the story about these.
When you started saying ripoff, heist, I was like, oh, is it like Three Kings?
But it's a story about these guys who are since retired from their special forces days, and they're essentially becoming, you know, self-made mercenaries in the sense that they're pulling off this heist movie. Dude, it was so fucking dumb. it was so bad. And everybody's like swinging from the balls of this movie like it's the best shit ever. But I just don't get it. Like,
you think it's fake reviews?
I don't know, Jack. I sat there and like I wasn't supposed to laugh, but I laughed a lot because I thought that, like, the dialogue was just so terrible. Now, don't get me wrong, there's one very, very cool aspect of this movie. And it was the whole strategy behind the planning of the heist. And that Ben Affleck's character is very strong with that. He plays a captain. He's like the former captain of the special forces. But the story about how he got to where he is in this movie, blah, 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 is kind of stupid and cheesy. But the actual tactics behind some of their heist, you know, activities are very, very cool. And if you're into, like, you know, modern warfare and that type of stuff, it's actually very, very intriguing to watch it all kind of unfold. But the dialogue just fucking murdered it. Like, it was, you had like Charlie Hunnam coming in with this, like, his like forced English or forced American accent.
I was gonna say that because, you know, when he was on Sons of Anarchy, I didn't know he was British.
Yeah,
until about halfway through watching it, I go, but this whole episode, I go, is he just struggling to keep the American accent? I go, is he with the British special forces? Because it seemed like he was going in and out of his accent.
It was absolutely brutal to listen to it.
And can we just say, like I said, I only watched like the first 20 minutes is when they go into that town. The one guy's, I guess, an advisor or something like that. And it's a drug deal going on.
At the discotheque.
And they stop in the middle of town with all the high buildings. You know, it just seemed like, okay, if you're going to lead some people into a certain area, would you lead them into a death trap?
Right.
And maybe that's what he was trying. I didn't get further than that because I don't know what, because what happens is boom, 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 they're getting killed left and right because the badder guys have the higher ground. You know, they
right.
Obi-Wan.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not a military expert, but if I'm going to lead a group, if I'm going to stop somewhere, I don't stop where there's these tall buildings. I'm in the middle of the. Cause I've seen enough movies.
A kill zone.
Like Clear and Present was it? Which one with
The Rock?
No, the one with
Con Air.
Harrison Ford, where he's where he goes at one of the what's the Hunter X, what's that character?
Jack Ryan.
Jack Ryan, where he leads it, and they go in there and boom, 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 boom. Yep. I go, come on, you don't go.
That was clear and present danger.
Like honestly, like so, I don't want to go on too far in the conversation because you guys haven't seen the movie, so it's kind of it sounds like we never will either. Yeah, I'll tell you, like, and I was thinking about it afterwards, and my creative mind was flowing, and I was trying to, like, there's a lot of like scenes in which they're the four of them, five or however many of the fuck it is, I don't even know, are going back and forth making decisions and how they're going to proceed, like what's their next step, what they're going to be doing, because it's one thing after another, like falls through the cracks, and it's like this one disaster. Just when you think another disaster couldn't happen, another one does, and all like their reactions of like, and it essentially the movie's about how greed takes over valor, essentially, right? Oh. So like the money of the heist, it took over their sense of morals. I will answer that question like in just a second. It was hysterical because I'm sitting here and I'm trying to process this stupid ass movie that I just watched. And I go, the best way I can describe this is like late at night when I'm playing fucking Call of Duty with a bunch of my buddies I've been playing online video games with for years. And we're all just arguing at each other because we don't know which way we should go. Like, that's literally what I felt this movie was, just like four buddies playing Call of Duty and just arguing about who shot who and how to defend what. That's literally what this was for almost 2 hours. And I at the end of the movie, in the end of the movie too, if anybody who just does decide to watch it, you're just like, fucking really? Like, I get it, but like, really? Like, come on. Like,
well, it's Charlie Hunnam. What's his name?
Hunnam. Yeah.
Hunnam, his character in the beginning, he's trying to convince these guys to stay in the armed forces, right?
Yep.
Because that's it's for loyalty, and so I'm like, okay. So later on, he just leaves and says, "Fuck it, I'm going to go for the money too."
Oh, at the drop of a dime,
everyone would do.
Yeah, because Poe Dameron actually comes and sits in on one of his speeches and approaches him at the end of it. He's like, "Okay, let's go." Just like, fucking come on, man.
When I watch a bad movie like that that's been like really hyped, especially when you're talking about like an all-star cast, or at least you know a cast that costs money.
Yes.
My immediate thought is always that movie sucked, but the second thought is somebody out there paid money for that shit. Like someone was sold that this is going to make me money by making this movie.
Now you think it was because they made the movie, okay, we got this, we can get this cast. And like Chris said, I know all these people.
Yeah. And so, you know, people are going to tune into it, and that's how they sell it to producers, you know, where it's like some person is like, oh, can you give us $10 million? Because we've got Ben Affleck, we've got these people, we've got the guy from Star Wars. Like, it's gonna make money, and you're like, I don't think
Ben Affleck's a draw.
No, he's not.
I don't think he ever has been. I mean, there's some movies he's done that I really like.
Well, he has two characters. He has Sullen and Yelling, and that's what he does.
I mean, he did the one where he won the Academy Award. I can't remember what it was.
Arlo.
Yeah, with John Goodman.
Yeah, that one. Yeah,
but that was a good actor. Movie.
He won Best Director.
I know. I'm just saying, but he was in that movie. And the other one I could think of was the one that was I can't remember the name. It was Brandon Fraser was the star, and
you were I'm sorry, you were second billing the Brandon Fraser. You know, it's like that's just whatever it is, Jack. That movie's gonna be fucking terrible.
No, Matt Damon was in it.
School Ties.
School Ties.
There's going to be one exception, I guess.
There you go. That's an excellent movie. That's an excellent movie. You didn't let me finish.
Brandon Fraser in the early 90s did have a good career. I mean, it was not like a stellar career, but he was making.
But that's a movie probably a lot of people haven't seen, but it's an ex. It's when Matt.
School Ties is good, yeah.
Damon and Affleck were just starting out.
Chris O'Donnell. Mm-hmm.
It's a fantastic movie.
Chris O'Donnell, whatever.
Well, that's what's funny. Like, same thing as like with Rudy. You CSI. Watch Rudy. And like you see Vince Vaughn out of nowhere, you know, come in. You know,
yeah.
It's like, whoa, Vince Vaughn!
That's my Vince Vaughn Rudy impression. No. Who's the bad man now, John Farrago?
But I think you're right, though, Jack, with the whole like ratings, you know, I tend to think that Rotten Tomatoes is fixed sometimes, because you look at something like that where there's just tons of money probably being poured into it to get people to watch it. And you know it's not good, but yet it has great reviews. And then you see the opposite effect of that with like Captain Marvel, where like so many people were like writing bad reviews of it before it even came out because they want to just submarine it. And I saw it Sunday, and it's not a great film, but it's nowhere near a bad film. To me, it just feels like phase one film. Like it kind of feels out of place in the current Marvel lineup we're in. But if that movie came out in like 2009 or 2010, along with the other phase ones, you'd be like, this is a good movie.
Do you think some people just piggyback on the bat, like say you have a blogger out there that's a big blogger, you know, everybody knows who it is, and people go, I'm just going to piggyback on that one because I might get more hits because.
Oh, of course.
Because it's not about being truthful, you know, the whole fake news thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like when people like tweet something about a podcast and then like tag stuff that has nothing to do with that podcast because they want to get people to listen to it. You know, anyway.
Well, to be fair, I'm not saying that you should listen to. I'm not saying when I do that. I'm not. That's not even the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Because if I'm a blogger and I say I like the movie, but that everyone is shitting on it, I go, well, I'm just going to shit on it because I don't want to go against the grain.
Right.
If I'm tagging something to try and get people who've never listened to the podcast to maybe listen to the podcast, you know, so there.
Well, and they also, you know, with the Last Jedi, they had proved that there were actual Russian bots that were you know, creating really bad reviews.
Fucking Russians, man.
Right, I know. Bringing down our American economy with these great Star Wars films.
I'm sure Disney's really hurting.
Yeah, they just bought a whole other movie studio, right?
Did they?
Yeah, they bought Fox, 20th Century Fox today. The deal was sealed, so now they own X-Men and Fantastic Four. And
20th Century Fox,
my baby.
And potentially, they could distribute the original, uncut, unaltered Star Wars.
That's true.
We did tell Disney that they could not buy Jay and Jack.
Oh, good. Good, because I was really worried.
He'd roll over like Steamboat Willie.
No, because I said, look, I know how to be poor.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how to be rich. So I...
Oh, come on, Jack. Join the team.
I said, you know what? It doesn't matter if I have money. My kids have already graduated from college.
I know, but they offered to put your grandchildren in college, though. So,
what do I gain from that?
Wow.
Hey, Nick.
Yep.
I'd like to take a moment to put your question on the air here, and on the side chat, Nick asked the question: Con Air, great movie or the greatest movie?
I can say it's not the greatest movie.
It's obviously the greatest movie. Yeah,
it's pretty up there, man.
You've got comedy, you got action, you got romance, you got everything in there.
It also has one of my favorite like animated GIFs in the history of animated GIFs. And I can't put it onto the show. I don't think. Can I? Can I put it to the show notes? Probably
I
not.
I don't think it'll work in the show notes, but you can try.
Oh, God damn it. No, it won't work.
You can put it in the comment section, because that way I wouldn't have to hashtag something that doesn't belong.
You know, I'm just gonna put it right in the Jay and Jack patrons group with no description as to why I'm actually putting it there.
Just say spoiler.
No, it's. I'm just gonna put it right in, like this. Ready? Just and there it is.
Put it in.
I just put it in.
Nick Cage is in Con Air, right?
He is, and it's one of the worst accents probably ever uttered in a film.
I'm cool with Nick Cage as long as he's not running, because he's like the funniest runner.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch him on why am I drawing a blank on it? The Independent, where there's. The Clues, what's the damn movie? The Clues on the back of the Declaration of Independence.
National Treasure.
National Treasure. Mm-hmm. He runs in that movie. I said they should be paying someone to run for him. He's a dopey runner.
Yeah.
So apparently, animated GIFs don't work on Facebook.
I'm looking at your picture here. This is like three.
Oh,
pictures
that with the me. Hair. Yeah, it's just like flowing. In the
hold
wind.
On, hold on. Oh, no, there we go. I got it. I got it. Ready? There. And I'm gonna fix that. Ready? Here we go. Post. So the other day, I got an email at work, and it was somebody taking a moment to write me an email to tell me something great that my team did when I wasn't there. And I was just happy that it happened because things we're working on and just a proud dad moment.
Was it titled Triple Frontier?
And no, and my simple response to the email was just this gift. If you want to go ahead and refresh the patron page, it was just this, simply this gif, just, you know,
he gets me every time. I can't help it.
It's one of the greatest gifs in the history of gifs or gifs, or whatever the hell you want to call it.
It's either way, you know, it's officially, I think, acceptable either way, gif or gif, you know, because I mean, you will have people fight about this amongst, you know.
Well, I think we should come up with what it is. What is it?
The argument is that the designer calls it a GIF because it you know, it's what does it mean, guys? It's graphic.
But the first part is graphic
interface, interchange format,
which is a G. So the G. It should be GIF.
Yeah, I have always said GIF until someone pointed out, well, the guy who designed it always called it a GIF. And you're like, well, that just makes no sense.
I've always been corrected because the people always say, no, it's a GIF. I go, I don't really fucking care.
Right.
It's accepted.
I go, did you know what I said? Do you know what I've was talking about? And they go, yeah. I go, then why are we talking about this?
I love this. There's actually a headline from Gizmodo.com. Says the creator of GIF says it's pronounced GIF. He is wrong.
It's like a tomato thing of our generation, really. You know.
Oh man. Wait, but anyway, so
tomato, that was before my generation.
So Nick, I mean, go back to your question though. Yeah. You know, Con Air, is it a Con great Air. Movie or is it the greatest movie? The
and I think I'm going to be leaning towards the idea of greatest movie.
I wouldn't even say great.
No, you're just a hater, Jack. No.
I'm not a hater. I watched it, but I don't think I've seen it.
Put the bunny down.
why couldn't you just put the bunny down? Like, it's so bad. You know?
And you got
Buscemi so great in that film. I mean,
is it Buscemi or Buscemi?
I would say Buscemi.
It's Buscemi.
What does Buscemi say? Because then we'll go with the opposite.
and then you got, what's his name? Who's the big dude?
Oh yeah, what's his name? You know what, guys? I'm probably with Jack on this.
Yeah. So
I'm Team Jack.
Oh, it's got John Cusack. I mean, for shit. Cusack, I mean,
yeah. I mean, it's good. Just don't know if it's the greatest.
So
when was the last time John Cusack made a good movie?
John Malkovich is in the movie. I mean,
that's true. I mean,
does he play a psycho character?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a stretch.
Vin Rames. We've got Vin Rames.
I was just saying Vin Rames.
You got Danny Trejo. You got Mr. Smiley himself, MC Gainey. I mean, the list just goes on. Yeah. Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
Like, this movie is fantastic.
Yeah. It's like an Irwin Allen movie from the early 70s. Or like Earthquake and Tower Inferno.
Bad world.
Exactly. I don't know if Irwin Allen did that. I don't think he did that one. But
in the world of action crime thrillers, in the world of action crime thrillers, Con Air is, I'm going to go ahead and say, seven bunnies above Triple Frontier.
Oh, yeah.
Action crime thriller.
There's a Simon Pegg film that came out, I don't know, a decade ago. I think it's the only Simon Pegg film that I will never recommend to anyone.
Simon Pegg?
Simon Pegg.
Did he? I think he pronounced it Fegg. So
okay. Yeah, you're probably right. He is English.
So. And he's wrong.
And it's called, like, How to Lose Friends and Alienate People or something like that. There's only one scene in
it. To a podcast.
It's really, really funny. To a podcast. And he works for a magazine, kind of like an Esquire-esque magazine.
Remember how your son throws a baseball.
That's a stretch. Oh,
you can't say that anymore.
That's a stretch, I think. Simon Pegg working for an Esquire magazine.
Well, he works. He's trying to. He's just starting, and he's trying to impress the boss. You know, he goes to like this Oscar-esque party.
Isn't he Mission Impossible?
Yeah, he's Mission Impossible. He's Scotty.
Yeah, okay. All right. And he's in something else too that I didn't realize he was in. But okay.
Star Wars. Dead.
He's in Star Wars.
No, it was something else. It was like his early career.
It's good, but like anyway, this movie is
Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz. Yeah, this is the one movie of his I do not recommend. But this one scene though, he's at this pool party in L.A. and all these people. It's all the producers and actors.
Do in L.A. You have pool parties,
and they're talking about like great movies. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he's just trying to so desperate to get in this conversation. And then he goes, "You know what the greatest movie of all time is? Con Air." And they just look at him like, what the fuck? You know? And he starts defending it. He's like, Con Air, you've got the romance, you've got the good looks of Nick Cage, you've got the comedy. Like he's like, oh my god, like he's going there.
How I'm not in that movie.
I will stand by and saying that I love that movie. And
I'm not saying you can't love it.
I owned it on DVD.
When people say greatest of all time, come on.
Right. It's Casablanca.
Let's be real.
It's the greatest crime opera.
The greatest movie of the year conversation is strictly for the humor of this show. It's definitely not the greatest movie of all time. But man, it's fun. I put it up there with the other Cusack flick.
Well, you know what we should do?
About Alcatraz.
We should 3,000. What's it?
The Rock?
The Rock. Yes, thank you.
Cusack is not in The Rock. He is in The Rock, isn't he?
He's the main character. It's him in what's his nuts?
It's Sean Connery and Nick Cage.
Sean Connery. Pick the rapists for $400.
What about there was another. That's Cusack movie too, like, where he plays an assassin.
Yeah,
and
Gross Point Blank.
Yeah,
dude, Gross Point Blank is a phenomenal movie, and by the way, has probably the best movie soundtrack ever.
Oh yeah, it's a pretty good one. Yeah,
I'm still gonna go with High Fidelity. But if we're going to Cusack, great soundtrack, I'm gonna go High Fidelity. But yes,
I will stick by Gross Point Blank soundtrack. Look at that.
High Fidelity is a badass soundtrack too.
It is.
All right. Well, let's compare.
I have to agree with Matt and Nick on that one.
Jack, really?
Yeah. I'm agreeing with it.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
All right. A lot of people like to watch Gross Point Blank as a sequel to Say Anything because it's like at the end of high school. You know, you get this girl.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, best Cusack movie of all time is The Sure Thing.
I thought you were going to go Serendipity.
Yeah. Gross Point Blank soundtrack, top to bottom. A Message to You, Rudy, by The Specials. Cities and Dust by Susie and the Banshees. Killing Moon, Echo and the Bunnymen. Monkey Gone to Heaven by the Pixies. Lorca's Novena by the Pogues. Go by Tones on Tail. Let It Whip by the Daz Band. The Dominatrix Sleeps Tonight by Dominatrix. War Cry by Joe Strummer. White Lines by Grandmaster Flash and Melly Mel. Take on Me by A-ha. And You're Wondering Now, Specials.
They're both great. I'm just saying, like, he works in a frickin' record store.
And exactly.
There's lots of great tunes that are
in there. All right, let's look at the High Fidelity.
That movie introduced the entire world to, what's the name of that band? The three EPs.
Oh, Beta Band.
Beta Band, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They play the song Dry the Rain.
Dry the Rain, yeah.
Uh-huh, yeah. So,
get back to uh-huh.
Okay, so let's see. The 13th Floor Elevators. What is it? You're Gonna Miss Me. The Velvet Underground. Oh, Sweet Nothing.
That's a great one.
Sweet one. Stevie Wonder, I Believe. When I Fall in Love, It Will Be Forever.
Bob
Dylan's Most of the Time.
Bob Dylan.
Oh crap! The article
Nick
I'm on.
Nick Cage sings
whole,
a song in it. I think somewhere along
the whole soundtrack. Damn it!
Ah shit! This soundtrack's pretty great.
This post has done me wrong. Fuck. All right. Anyway,
I mean, you have Jack Black bringing in so much comedy with music too. Because he's like, you play my little, you know, he's like, you know, I'm walking on sand. You just hear, you know, Jack Black going, yeah. Then at the end, he pulls a little Marvin Gaye. Like that's like, it's good.
All right, I admit defeat. Okay, right, so High Fidelity.
So it's a sweep it.
Sweet. Yeah, High Fidelity's soundtrack is pretty fucking awesome.
Well, like Nick said, it is. He's in a record store, so
yeah. I mean, yeah. And I
and the kids at home are like going, "What the fuck is a record store?"
Everybody's like, "What the fuck is High Fidelity?"
Yeah, I was
right.
How many of you have seen The Sure Thing?
I don't think. I've Let me look up on IMDb and make sure that I haven't seen it from my youth. Because there's a lot of movies that I saw growing up. I don't remember.
It is comedy gold.
Sure thing. it's really a Fantastic Four movie.
Okay, I'm telling you, if you haven't seen it, go see it. It's hilarious.
I'm looking at the images right now.
Where are we going to go to see it, Jack?
Well, just go to iTunes and go to the record store and rent it. Go to the last Blockbuster and go see it.
I'm sorry.
No, I was gonna say like I collect vinyl. I'm not sure if you guys collect vinyl or not, but yes. I do love it though. Like when someone will come into my apartment and see my vinyl records, and they go, "You didn't organize them alphabetical, did you?" I'm like, "No, autobiographical." Yeah, like because only people who've seen that movie or read the book get it. Yeah.
All right, so there is a version of a song that's in the movie Gross Point Blank. It's actually not on the soundtrack. I believe they didn't get the rights to it.
I hate that.
But the song, you know the song Pressure Drop?
Pressure Drop.
Under Pressure Drop.
It's Pressure Drop. I forgot who the original band is, but it's kind of like a, I think it's like an island, like ska group. Probably from the 60s or whatever. But the specials do a version of Pressure Drop that you can't get on the soundtrack. I'm just going to play a little bit of it for you.
Well, not 30, more than 30 seconds.
Pressure Drop. Yeah. Okay. Drop. Who's this by?
So this version is by the Specials. I'm going to fast forward and I can fix that 30-second bit.
Oh, yeah, I know the song now, yeah.
So this version, I'm going to stop it so we don't get copyright infringement. That version is hardly available anywhere, but I actually...
Yeah, so I'm looking right now. I can't get it.
Yeah, you can't. It's not... I think it was on the original, one of the original cuts of the album. But once it went, things went digital to streaming music. You can't find it.
Why is it? Just because they won't release it, or
because it's not the Specials' song. So it's a cover of a song by Pressure Drop. I can't remember the name of the ska, like an old school ska, like Caribbean.
Feats in the Mayhills is what's
yes,
coming up.
Yes, yes, that's it. Yeah. Is exactly yeah. And I believe the reason why I even have that song in my library is because it's been. From years ago when I would rip my CDs that I had.
Oh, yeah.
And I ripped one of my original CDs I had from the Gross Point Blank soundtrack, and it was on it. And I've had it on, and I've had it on my phone. I've even tried to share this playlist that I've made with for somebody, and when I send it to them, that song gets omitted. It doesn't transfer over because it's not copyrighted.
I've had that same problem. I really have. Like, I've put together like this really sweet playlist of songs that I've like uploaded and moved from other materials. The only way that you can do it is actually like old school, burn it on a disc and give it to a friend and say, "Hey, upload this to your iTunes and like play it." You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So,
I love that song. I love that album.
Like 50 years.
What did you say, Jack?
I said I've made a playlist in like 50 years. I didn't know people still did that. Here's a playlist for you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you'll meet I drove to Palm Springs last Thursday with one of my coworkers.
I have XM satellite.
She's 24, and I just have my music on random, and I have just a shit ton. There's so many songs that came on that I automatically assume that every person that can breathe knows. You know, like.
Well, I assumed people knew the movie The Sure Thing. So.
Oh, okay. But like, you know, it's like, you know, Who'll Stop the Rain by CCR, or no, it was Bad Moon Rising. Bad Moon Rising by CCR came on.
Bathroom on the Right.
Bathroom on the Right. She never had heard it. Bohemian Rhapsody, never heard it. I'm like, where the fuck have you been living? Like, how do you not know these songs? Like,
they made a movie about this song. Yeah,
she's taking pictures of my dashboard, like every song that's coming on. Like, I like this. I'm like, do you just. Your life is so empty. How do you not know these songs? Like, just it's crazy.
So good road trip though.
It was good. Yeah, I didn't yell at her too much.
Okay. You didn't bury the body or some Dan kind of move, right?
Not yet. I was in the desert. It would have been a good opportunity to do it.
Well, you got to ask Dan where the best spots are.
Hopefully she doesn't listen.
But you got to be careful with Dan because he might give you a location. He might be setting you up.
Yeah.
So yeah, here's a good place. I haven't buried a body there yet. But then you go to bury a body there and you get busted for, you know, killing 8-9 people.
So you guys remember my search for that version of that Sublime's 40 Ounce of Freedom album, right?
Yeah.
Did ever tell you what happened?
I don't think so.
So the album that I did get.
Oh, you ordered it. That's right. I remember you ordered
still it. Still didn't have it on there.
Oh.
However, I found it on iTunes. Or no, YouTube. YouTube. So I'm going to put it in the background.
Well, you can rip it off of YouTube, I know. And it just won't be that good quality. But yeah, okay.
Hello?
Is there anybody out there?
Playing it?
Barely.
You put your earphone up to the mic. I don't think it works like that.
Can't hear it.
Ah, damn it. Well, anyways, you can do a quick search on YouTube.
That was great podcasting.
It's called Sublime Get Out in the original. It's awesome. It's a song that I remember like just driving around to in my first car, 1983 Chevy Cavalier, puke colored like.
What year Cavalier?
I didn't know they made Cavalier. 1983.
My wife had a subliminal message to you to get out of your car.
Yeah, not right.
My wife had two Cavaliers.
But if you recall the original story, that tape couldn't get out of my car. There was the one tape that I had. It was my original Sublime cassette.
Oh, that's right.
That it was stuck in the tape deck and I couldn't get it out. And that you was a song called Get Out.
Like the person that Nick was taking on a journey, you want to explain that to him what a tape is?
Yeah. Yeah, right.
And how it can get stuck.
Yeah, the tape deck would not eject. So when that car went to the pound,
such a pisser. It was like, oh, if I pull this out, it's going to stretch the tape out.
Yep.
I hated that.
But if I don't get it out, I can't play any music. Fuck!
Yep.
I'm sure you guys
have huge problems.
I'm sure you guys have seen this image on Facebook. I mean, I've seen it at least 20 times where it's just a picture of a cassette tape on like a surgical table and then like another one like going up. Pencil. Give me a pencil. Like, give me a scalpel. Give me a pencil. The thing is, like, all of us get that, but there's people out there that don't get it. And you're like, oh wow, like there's probably people out there that don't get that humor that it's
right.
That's how you rewind a tape. It's the tape's all gone out of the tape.
I can remember Warm Taffy and I were sitting in a car. I was in my car. The tape was fucked up. I'm trying to rewind it with a pencil, and I had another friend, Jeff Brown, who thought it'd be funny to jump my car. He smacks the front of the car, dents the crap out of my fender, and rolls across the hood, denting that, and then rolls on the ground in pain. I just wish we had a camera because our faces were probably like, what the fuck? So every time I see that pencil with the tape, I think of Jeff Brown trying to jump my car, smashing my Datsun 210. Look it up, kids. That was before it was Nissan. And it's boom, and he rolls across the hood, denting that up, and he's laying on the ground in pain. And I couldn't get out and yell at him because he was in pain. I thought he broke his, neck or something like that. I'm like going,
a TJ Hooker move or what?
Yeah. TJ Hooker had been from the front. He did it from the side. He was just going to jump, but we weren't even looking. We were just doing the tape, and it was like, boom, boom, boom. The fuck was that? Oh! Anyway, Jeff, and Jeff Brown moved back to either Arkansas or Tennessee. I think he was from Tennessee. Do you know him?
Oh, yeah, we don't all know each other.
Yeah.
Since you were going there, Jack, I'm going to go this way. I was at in Redland yesterday at a brewery that I hadn't been to in a while, and this guy is there with his wife, and they have a newborn. They're just trying some beers, and she's a Raiders fan. She's wearing a Raiders cap, and he's saying, I don't hear exactly what she says, but the guy goes, "You can't call him that. You can't name it that because you're gonna set the kid up for failure." He's wearing a Chargers hat. And he sees me laughing and he thinks I'm on his side because he's just laughing. And he's like, see, this guy's agrees with me. I go, no, it's the fact that you're saying setting up your kid for failure while you're wearing your Chargers hat.
So true, so true, so true.
Well, sounds like a house divided anyway. I mean, she's wearing a Raiders hat.
It's funny. I've kind of stopped arguing with the Charger fans from LA. They always say, believe in Spanos. Believe in believe in Belichick or believe in Brady because, well, they've actually come through and, you know, won champion. You know, anyone who's been successful, the Chargers have never been successful. Why would you believe? Why would you believe that suddenly they're going to turn it around and do the right thing? But anyway.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Well, I have been doing a kind of a mega playlist and, you know, maybe for any of the listeners out there that are interested in such a thing, you can pick any artist or musician that has a huge wide range of music to listen to, you know, like your Bob Dylan's or your Queen or your Prince or Bowie. Currently I'm doing a Beck re-listen. I have a lot of Beck, like a lot of B-sides, a lot of rare stuff that I got on DVD, stuff that's not on iTunes. And I've made this mega playlist. Beck? No.
Do you have song?
Poor Matt.
So anyway, I have put them all in a chronological order in this playlist, this mega playlist. And I'm just kind of listening through, like, just chronologically, like, just to see, you know, it's kind of something that I listen to while I paint, actually, because it's kind of fun to hear the transitions that will happen from B-sides or regular. And Beck's someone who appears on, like, lots of different other musicians' work. And so it kind of jumps around a lot, but it's kind of neat to hear that progression of him as a musician.
Right.
But, you know, you really could do it with just about anybody that has a huge, you know, wide range of music. But it's been fun. But I mean, there's like, I have like 26 hours worth of music.
Do the kids listen to music you play or listen to?
Yeah, kids listen to some of the music that I play. So
do you have,
and they like it?
Yeah. I mean,
I'm just a serious question.
Yeah, no, they've been enjoying the recent Colors album. So, quite a bit, but yeah, they're subjective to my music.
Do you have the track, Everybody's Gotta Learn Sometime?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's really a hard track to find.
I just went through that song actually. Cause I'm now just post Guero, and into, a lot of remixes and heading into the information. So, but it came right. Yeah.
Well, I was just saying, for anyone out there that didn't know, like in 2004, the movie Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, Beck covered a song called Everyone's Gotta Learn Sometime. And it was only available on the CD release of that soundtrack. And it's been out of print ever since. And so,
isn't that song basically what I was saying about Matt's son and the Legos?
Everybody's got to learn sometime.
Wasn't that the point I was trying to make?
I bought that CD, and so I guess I never really thought about it. But yeah, I've had that CD in my collection, and as Chris had noted, there's a lot of songs that you just can't find on iTunes. You know, you upload it, can be in your own music selection, but you just can't share it. So,
well, they'll go through phases. Like I've definitely seen that where, like, you know, it'll be like 20th anniversary of something, you know, and then it'll be there for a year. And the next thing you know, you're like, oh, I saved this to my favorites because I want to buy it later. And then the next thing it's gone. You're like, where the fuck did it go? You know?
I don't even
buy music anymore. I just ask Alexa to play whatever she has.
And forget about Star Wars music. Cause like Wars music, I mean, good fucking luck, because they change the title of the songs. Okay.
Do they?
Yeah, they do. They'll change the tracks of some of these songs. So like when you look at the original release of some of these on vinyl versus what they later released on CD.
Why do they change the title? Just to, cause it's been purchased by somebody else? And
no, I mean, they just, I don't know who decides to change these, if it's John Williams or if it's Lucasfilm, but they've gone over, you know, periods of time where they've changed some of the track songs, track listings. What's
I mean, I know they added A New Hope just because it was originally came out, which is Star Wars.
Yeah, no, I mean, just the actual track names.
I get that. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I mean, all I want is a what-what. And
a what-what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? What? That's how I sing it.
You mean a yub nub?
A yub nub, yeah, that's what I want.
The Ewok celebration?
Yeah, which they quickly forgot about and then put some other crap over top of it.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
My kids love the Ewok celebration, the original. Yeah,
the one detail that everyone glosses over though with Return of the Jedi is that obviously the Ewoks are down to eat anything. They will eat Han, they will eat Chewie, they'll even eat C-3PO if necessary. At the end of that film, when they're all celebrating, all happy, and the fireworks are going on, people just kind of gloss over the fact there's like six helmets there of stormtroopers.
They totally ate them.
At the barbecue, and they totally ate freaking stormtroopers.
You got to eat.
Yeah.
The stormtroopers are the bad guys. So we don't care.
Just like, you're eating on Phil. Phil wouldn't hurt anybody.
I don't know if Nick and I talked about this on an O&M Brews or if it was like discussed off the air, but there's a really funny Star Wars comic where it's kind of starting out with the post celebrations of Return of the Jedi. And it's these two X-Wing pilots that are like, man, I don't know what's in this food, but it's really good. And they're at the Ewok celebration, and it's kind of like, it's a little bit of an insider's joke there that, they're eating human flesh.
Exactly.
So, yeah. I hate when it gets stuck in your teeth. I must be
she's all stringy.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I hate that. Since we're on music, I my granddaughter has, she has different songs that calm her down. And now she's gotten into the Nancy Sinatra's Boots Are Made for Walking. And so I'll play it on, and I really never really paid attention to the video before. It's a terrible video.
It's a terrible song.
Well, it's not a terrible song. It's a song that it's not a classic, but it's a song that if you heard it, it's in like in Vietnam movies and stuff.
Yeah.
But because the dancers in the background are dancing, and I'm not a dancer, but I can realize that you're dancing too fast for the beat of the song. And Nancy Sinatra can't dance. So the whole time I'm watching this video, my granddaughter loves it. She's just all, she's 7 months old. She thinks it's the greatest thing in the world. But I just said, this video is, it's almost like a Journey video. It's so bad. Because Journey videos were terrible. This video is just, have you guys seen it?
It's probably been a while since.
It is bad.
Nancy Sinatra.
Nancy Sinatra, these boots are made for walking. It's like 2 minutes and 40 seconds, but it's terrible.
Just slightly longer than the recent Toy Story trailer.
Yes. Which made me cry.
It made you cry.
So one more music reference, if I could. So this has been around for a number of years. The original album has been around for 40 years now, 43 years. But I just a couple days ago discovered the super deluxe edition of Fleetwood Mac's Rumors.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I never knew about the super deluxe edition with all the studio cuts and demos and stuff.
They did it for I know they did it for Fleetwood Mac, the White Album, and they did it for Rumors as well. And I don't think they've done it for Tusk yet. They might have done it for Tusk.
But, I will go on record in saying that Fleetwood Mac Rumors is probably close to one of the most perfect albums ever made, in my personal opinion.
You should definitely get the DVD or the Blu-ray of classic albums. They did a documentary of that. It goes track. It's really good. Because, you have three songwriters, all three of them are at their peak of their songwriting abilities. All three of them are breaking up in their relationships at that point. It's a great record for the it's a perfect breakup record. That's what it is. And just like you're sitting at home and you're just feeling miserable and you listen to us. There's a lot of jabs in it too. Like people don't think about it. If you're just a casual music listener and you won't pay attention, but there's so many lyrics. Imagine you're breaking up with your girlfriend or boyfriend and you're singing
Go Your Own Way.
Go Your Own Way. You wrote that song and you're making your girlfriend or ex-girlfriend at the time sing Packing Up and Shacking Up's All You Like to Do every night on stage. Like, you're just like, fuck you.
Well, I'm boycotting Fleetwood Mac until they bring back Lindsey Buckingham. Sorry.
Well, no, he's done, man. So he just
I don't care.
Settled. Well, no, you know, he physically is done. So he had he had heart surgery recently within the last couple of months.
Okay.
And complications of the surgery have damaged his vocal cords.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's in rough shape.
I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing at
You sicko.
Matt's posting the video. Look at, she can't dance.
Nobody's looking at the fucking dance.
Nope.
They're looking at their legs.
What are they doing in the back? What are they doing in the background? It doesn't make sense.
It's like Jane Fonda's workout.
It doesn't matter. They're like half covered.
That's like softcore porn for their
legs. It is. And it's like filmed with like a grainy, like, you know, film.
One shot, one angle.
I don't think it was grainy. I think it just over time it became grainy.
It became grainy. This is the only copy we've got because Frank watched it so many times. They're just wearing pants. And boots.
Oh, blue eyes.
All right. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt all of the Lindsey Buckingham.
I didn't realize he was. But they did kick him out originally because he was.
So they, you need to, Chris. You need to own Buckingham Nicks, which is out of date.
Yeah, it's awesome.
For 40 years, their first solo record. It's really good.
So better than the Eagles.
The Eagles suck, dude.
why do people hate the Eagles?
It's like Jay's right. They're assholes. The Buckingham Nicks in 73, the Frozen Love, the last track on the record. I mean, just own it just for that. It's a great track. And then Fleetwood Mac, the White Album was coming at 75, Rumors 77. Tusk, to me, is the hardest album to really get into. It's a double record, and it's very different from Rumors. If you're expecting Rumors 2, then you're just going to be so disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, Rumors still is like, you can listen to that album from top to. It's such a great driving album. Like
Boston's
also fantastic by Mel. But you can put on Rumors and just drive.
It's and the quintessential album.
Well, not if you're with someone with Nick's friends, because
but you also have to insert maybe a little Holiday Road in there by Lindsey Buckingham as well, because that is a phenomenal driving song. Our listeners could have done without that.
And just because of that,
I got to return my AirPods because there's blood in them at this point. Hang on.
Our listeners are tuning out. We're going to turn off, and then we're going to drop out.
No, we have an email.
Oh, we do.
We didn't do a commercial break.
From Joanne with a plan.
Oh, well, hey, let's put our commercial break in right now.
Oh, okay.
And go.
I thought you were going for the After Dark extended, whatever we call it. All right, this one is go ahead.
I was going to say, what we called it. What do we call
extension.
It?
Extension.
The extensions.
Yeah. No, that was our commercial break. It just happens to be at the 59th minute.
You're welcome.
Well, at least someone remembered.
Yeah.
Way to go, Matt.
I remember. What are you talking about?
Oh, is it you?
Yeah, once again.
Well, I apologize because I had already
got... I have no respect here. Yeah.
I can't see you guys because I have the email in front of me.
I feel like Joanne with a plan is just racking up drawings for me now.
I think she's just making stuff up. Because basically I'm reading it right now, and she's just basically saying what we already said. So do I even have to read it?
Really? She's that psychic.
I'm just kidding. No, but anyway. This one is public speaking. Remember we were talking about public speaking, how nervous we get and how
Yes. Yeah.
Like
I do remember that.
To the orders of the RCAD cast. Some very good points were made concerning public speaking. Back in high school, I learned that I really enjoyed and was pretty good at speaking from a script. I was the first teenager allowed to be a reader at our church and was on the speech team in high school when I would do a known speech. In junior year, however, you had to give a speech on your own based on the topic handed to you at the start of a competition. And in the speech club for me. So was she saying that you just get the topic and that you have to,
yeah, you have to talk about it.
Like a debate team type thing?
Like, you know, when will the Chargers win the Super Bowl? And you
Yeah. I mean, that's almost like an impromptu kind of thing too, which yeah. I actually enjoyed impromptu. I did that in high school for a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah. If I got that topic, it would just be fuck you, Dean Spanos. So that I would win, right?
Well, yeah. That's not a debate. You know.
All right. What is Joanne with a plan?
Later on, she said, later on, I had a chance to say, fuck you, Dean Spanos. No, I said, later on, I had an opportunity to do professional talks, and I would do opposite of what the expert would say to do. I think it's true. You have to do what's comfortable for you, right?
Yeah. Well, like I've done that in a lot of job interviews or just debating people in general. It's a good rule to kind of observe is if you feel that someone's channeling a topic that you don't want to discuss or like, you know, if they're asking you a question, don't answer the question that they're asking of you. Ask the question you wish they would have asked of you. So you can always spin it. And that's that.
We're in a no spin zone here, Nick.
Yeah.
Come on now.
I thought you were talking about as opposed to imagining people without wearing clothes, you actually imagine yourself not wearing clothes.
That happens unless you're talking in front of a mirror and then you're looking at yourself and then
Mia.
Don't ever say mirror on this show.
Mira.
I love it. I love it. It's funny.
You can't call me in a mirror off.
I hope that the like entire last season of Game of Thrones, there's like a mirror in every episode.
Yeah. I see that happening. Okay. I would write the entire talk and then keep rewriting and while pulling out more words and sentences until I essentially had outline and memory of all the parts I wanted to say. Well, that's pretty good. The one key piece I learned was to use PowerPoint slides as an outline and a reminder what I wanted to say and read them word for word. One bad memory from all those times was when I was the third speaker and said,
oh, Jack froze, or I froze.
No, he froze up from speech fear.
Yeah, that's what
Jack froze up.
He was really, really
so
afraid.
I mean, I think we can interject on the email thus far until Jack reconnects. But so is she saying that she would utilize PowerPoint as a script?
I do the same thing. I think what she's saying is that she, you know, in your bullet points on the slide, you put like one term or two terms to remind you of what you need to talk about.
Yes.
And you have it memorized word for word in her head.
Okay, that makes sense. Because anybody out there listening who's listening to a podcast right now while they're either procrastinating because they have to put together a PowerPoint or perhaps are putting together a PowerPoint as we speak, the worst thing you can do
is
read from a PowerPoint.
Oh yeah.
Like it's one of those things where I've been involved. I've been an audience member of so many of those where I'm like, this could have just been a fucking conference call that would have I would not have listened to in the first place.
Yeah.
Or play conference call bingo, which is one of my favorite all time things to do.
I tend to I won't put everything in the PowerPoint, but I'll put the main things that I want to convey in the PowerPoint, specifically when I'm teaching. And then I will riff from there because I've typed it out and I've gone through it in my mind.
For sure.
Will riff and go off of that. And then I'll let the students actually read what I put on the slide. And then I might glance and say, oh yeah, I forgot this. And I'll bring that up.
Words should never be a focal point of a presentation.
No.
Yeah. And unless you're trying to convey some information that people want to write down,
you know? Like a quote. If there's like a quote, you put the quote up there. But you never have the words be a focal point of a slide on a PowerPoint.
No. It's
a big no-no.
I am notorious when I have to give presentations for having no more than probably 12 slides ever.
That's good.
And yep. I will have one word, maybe three points of words. Like, it'd be like you could just be like Matt. You know, and then I'll have an animation to the right of it. So I know when it says Matt, I know what to talk about. And then the animation is what everyone's looking at while I'm talking.
See, I'm notorious in my presentations for having the transitions where my words on my slides burn up in flames.
Ah. Nice. Oh, I like that.
am I back? Can you hear me?
Yes, you are back. Jack, yes. Welcome back, Jack.
We already ended the show. I can hear you
almost the whole time.
Oh,
really?
Oh,
cool.
But then I had to do some stuff. So where was I on the email?
Well, PowerPoint.
You were reading it.
About slide seven.
Something about you were on slide seven.
Okay. One bad memory is when I was the third speaker and the second speaker gave a 45-minute talk on computer graphics using one single slide. Everyone pretty much left as the talk ran on. I was not the last speaker. left me with two people to hear me talk.
That can be a good thing and a bad thing.
So the speaker in front of her cleared the room basically
what was the speaker's presentation on?
I don't know. It just sucked, I guess.
Probably something NASA related. Yeah. You know? It was like, here's Mars. I'm going to talk about Mars. And then everybody's like,
I thought she mentioned it in the email. Did she not?
No.
It was a fake moon landing. Oh,
man. No wonder that was in a room.
Yeah, we're out of here.
He mentions everyone just, you're speaking as everyone gets up and leaves.
Oh, yeah.
But yet you keep talking?
Yeah.
That takes some balls, right?
It's a good thing we're doing a podcast.
Yeah, we can't hear people. Turn it off.
Yeah, well, they tell us. Confidence was mentioned, I believe, by Nick as a key. Totally agree. To expand on confidence, it's not just confidence in what you know, but also confidence in what you do not know. I tell my staff to always remember four words. I do not know. Are you friends along with, I will find the answer and get back to you. Yeah, so
you never say, at least in my experience, you never say I do not know, because I do not know implies different things to different people. I do not know sometimes means I don't want to deal with that, or you're opening yourself up to people projecting on you like, oh, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. Whereas in exactly what she says in the second point is I'll get back to you. People are more responsive of that, of just like, oh, okay, yeah, you know enough to say like, hey, just give me your email or come to me after I'm done. We'll get this figured out, you know, and it works.
Because I know she's right, because my wife, who I've been married for 30 years and been together for 33 years, I tell her all the time, if I tell you I don't know, it's either I don't want to tell you,
right,
or I don't know. Either way, stop asking me the same question. And it usually leads to a fight where
Why are you giving PowerPoints to your wife?
I'm just saying, when you say I don't know, I'm just saying I don't know. I don't have the slide projector anymore, but I just
can you believe they ran the annexation of Puerto Rico and did it this way?
It just drives me crazy. If I tell you,
yes,
but even when if you tell somebody, I know you're not supposed to say it, but a lot of times I just don't know, and they keep asking you, I just want to punch that person in the face.
Okay.
I think there might be this one's for Sherry, actually. I would like to say, I don't know, but let's find out. Sherry gets that.
But I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, I'm just kidding. In one talk, I had a participant walk in with the book of federal activation regulations. Yes, it was one big and boring as it sounds, essentially the Bible for government purchasing. Drops it on the table and says, I'm ready. Let's go for it. By the end of my presentation, he was duly impressed, as I did not say anything wrong, stated firmly and confidently what I knew for certain, and was willing to concede when I was uncertain. So that's good. Where I would just say, fuck it, get the hell out of here. And you always have the ready handled jerks like Jack. Hey, Jack said it, not me. I love this email up until this point. I don't think it's funny anymore. I was doing a presentation yesterday calling back to Chip Mims' interview recently on the Jay and Jack show. I run the number two IT acquisition program in the government. After my first or second slide, someone from the number one program steps in and essentially tries to give the program presentation. It was a jerk move, especially for the number one. But see, I wouldn't do that. What? No one's gonna back me up on that one?
Nope.
Oh, fuck off anyway. Essentially acting like the number two.
I'll retweet it though.
You've been great at that, Chris. The other one's not so much. But who had the R. Kelly with the Chips Ahoy?
That would be Matt.
Nice job, Matt. I know I'm not saying nice job, Nick. Anyway, let's go on at the break. I said something, and my program does all the same things. Later, he tried again to show how he and his program were more important to listen to. So I let him run on again, and when he took a breath, I simply said, okay, back to the slides. In other words, do not confront or try to respond to the jerks. Which I guess we know who she's talking about. That's okay. Everyone there knew and will remember that he was being a jerk. You know, the jerks are called. They're running out of him. Also, I kept moving forward in a professional way. I now do not prepared for all the talks. I prefer speaking off the cuff and try to play off people in the room, that the questions are non-verbal feedback. Slides provide me with an outline, but will often skip entire slides or go off tangents based on given situations. Joanne with the plan.
Nice.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Joanne. And I know I just sent you a drawing recently, but maybe I can hook you up with another drawing at the meetup. I believe
you're going to be at Raleigh. I got a drawing for her.
Oh.
Jerk.
Really?
Aww. No, that's for me. Jerk. I'm signing it.
So Jack just offered to order Joanne a copy of The Jerk on DVD through Amazon.com.
He hates these cans. Classic, this is the cans.
Classic movie.
Oh, yes. I like where Chris is going with this. So, yeah, you can order The Jerk. You could get your Rumors.
Rumors.
You can get anything. Super Deluxe.
The Super Deluxe Edition.
You can get anything you want.
Except you can get better deals sometimes on eBay for your Lego sets for your kids. Yeah, but, you know, if you're shopping on Amazon and you just want to pull that trigger and throw us a couple bones, go to jandjack.com/Amazon. That is our Amazon affiliate link. A little bit goes our way. There's a lot of different people that help us out, patrons that make this podcast possible. We appreciate everything that they do, from the very small to the very big.
We appreciate those people that are retweeting the tweets that we put out there. Chris, myself, and other and listeners are doing it, which is nice because, you know,
good for you guys.
It's helping us, you know, it's helping us get out there.
Or those people that follow us on Instagram. You can follow us on Instagram at RCADcast. Also on Twitter, RCADcast. Send us an email, RCADcast@gmail.com.
Are you guys noticing a trend here?
There is a trend. Yeah. Yeah. So
write us in with any requests for the ukulele.
There you go.
A 5-star review first would be better.
Yeah, or a review. Yeah. Rate us and review us. I will send a drawing. Happy to.
Find us on iTunes on RCADcast.
Truth.
Is that right? Can you find
it's out there?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. The truth is out there. And on that note, if you want to become a patron, go to jandjack.com, click on the patron link there. There's several patrons that make this show possible. We really appreciate them. Jack's going to tell us who they are.
And there's a list of all the patrons on the Jane Jack page. But at this time, we're thanking Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart Rickner Glaffler, Maggie the Magnificent, Joanne with the plan. I'm not a jerk, Joanne. Ed the Creepy Letter Carrier, and the Drake. Thanks for doing what you're doing. Thanks for everybody who listens to us and, you know, puts up with our stuff each week. And go out there and vote for Chips Ahoy.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Unfucking believable.
I think right now Chips Ahoy's is winning. It's close between Chips Ahoy's and the Girl Scout cookies. The other two are just
look, you know, if you like R. Kelly, you're gonna like Chips Ahoy. But if you're like me, you're gonna stand with Jason Momoa. If you like
Michael Jackson, you're gonna be the you're gonna like the Girl Scout cookies.
Do I have to mute you too?
The other two cookies are the ET of the cookie world.
No, I think there's just not enough people out there who've discovered the joy of either of the Keebler fudge.
The Keebler cookies have been around since I was a kid, right?
Yeah, but they're excellent.
It's not like it's like a new cookie.
Well, anyways, you know what? This episode, much like the chips and Chips Ahoy,
they've gone
this
stale.
Was one in a million.
Every given
I was going to say Great Samoa. It's one in a million.
I would say, be nice to the jerks out there.
Be nice. And see you next Tuesday.
Hasta luego. And goodbye.
See you.